of Lake Effect Now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. Wisconsin winters are long and gray, which is why many of us choose to brighten up our homes with plants. But caring for indoor plants can be difficult, particularly in the winter when homes become drier and less hospitable to plant life. Gardening expert Melinda Myers knows how to navigate these challenges, and she joins me in studio to talk about indoor plant care. Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thanks, always a pleasure.
So when we're talking about indoor plants, what are some of the best plants to choose for the indoors?
You know, the first thing, it's like any gardening, the right plant for the right location. And light is usually the limiting factor for most of us. You know, even if you have a south-facing or west or east-facing window, there might be a tree, there might be a house close by, there may be an awning. Maybe you keep the shears closed to protect your furniture and artwork. And so sometimes that light isn't as intense as we'd like. So if you've got bright light, unobstructed south, east, or west, you can grow almost any house plant, including cacti and succulents. Just keep them within a couple feet of those windows. If you don't have unobstructed, or it's not that great a light, or maybe you don't have an east-west, just a north window, then you want to go to some of those more tropical plants, some of those low-light plants, like the ZZ plant, the peace lily that you see, all these things you see in the shopping malls and the doctor's office. That's a good indication. It'll probably do well in low light. Pothos and philodendron. And then you need to decide what kind of gardener are you. Are you somebody that likes to give a lot of attention to your plants? So you're going to want something that can tolerate moist soil, something like a peace lily that likes the soil moist. It'll forgive you once or twice. The leaves will fall over onto the side of the pot. You water, it perks back up. After about the third time, they're not perking up. So I'm a low-input gardener, so I quit growing peace lilies because, you know, as hard as I tried, it'd be one day too late. And then, you know, so I just said, you know what? Better for the plant and me not to have that stress. Cacti and succulents are definitely for the people that maybe can ignore their plants, are good at that benign neglect. We're going to say busy. That's my excuse. I'm busy. So I need those plants that are more drought tolerant. So you really want to match the plants to the growing conditions. And the good news is there's such an interest now that there's a wide variety of plants available. And if you don't have a good sunny window, artificial lights. LED lights are low energy, high intensity, and so you can really do a nice job. Gardener Supply has these nice bamboo light fixtures, so they look like furniture. And then there are so many nice artificial lights on stand, so for your floor plant, pendant lights that look just like the lights you'd buy to light up your house. So there's lots of options that you can increase the light, and it doesn't look like it should be in the basement, right? That ugly fixture that we hide when we start our seeds. So that does give us some flexibility.
So when you're talking about a plant, regardless of what kind of plant it is and it's inside, what are the biggest things to keep in mind about caring for it?
You know, I think one of the benefits of plants that people are finding is they require some TLC and attention. And so that really helps, you know, provide some stress relief, get your focus on something living instead of all the things that are annoying you. And so one is finding that right spot. Now, plants that like high light also don't always tolerate being right up against one of our windows in the winter. And definitely never close your plants between the blinds or curtain in the window, because that can be as much as 20 degrees colder at night. And so finding that spot, avoid drafts of hot and cold air. And then grouping your plants together, because they, most of those tropicals, not the succulents, like high humidity. Think about their native areas and the rainforest. So grouping your plants together, I think, creates a beautiful display. But also, as one loses moisture, transpires, it increases the humidity around its neighbors. And then as a low-maintenance gardener, I always fill my flats or saucers with pebbles, set my pots on there. So when I water thoroughly. The excess goes out the bottom, so I know I'm encouraging deep roots, collects in the pebbles. The pots are elevated above, so I don't get root rot. But as that water evaporates, again, I'm increasing the humidity. So I've made maintenance easier, which is a plus for any time I get to garden, and also improve the growing conditions for the plant.
Something I saw when I was looking up indoor plant care was pruning.
Yes.
Now, we moved a tree.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not exactly sure what kind of tree it was. It looked like almost an overgrown money tree that we had nearly killed the year before. We moved it outside. It was very happy to be outside. We then moved it back inside and pruned it, and then we murdered the tree.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think one of the things that scares people who've never grown plants is I'm going to kill it. And any gardener has killed a plant now and then. And that's just the reality. You get busy. You think you're doing the right thing. You can do everything right and it dies. You can do everything wrong and it survives. And I get to speak to gardeners all over the country. And when I share that, you know, we've all killed a plant, all the heads nod, yes, we have. And so we learn from our mistakes. So it might have been a weeping fig or a ficus. They have small leaves, kind of like an apple tree, maybe. Woody stems, very popular, likes bright light. Any change in the environment, they can lose 95% of their leaves and recover. So if it went outside and came back in, it might have been, I'm sure it was dead, so you didn't do anything wrong. But a lot of times it's just a matter of waiting. Even mine is inside. A friend didn't have room in their house and gave it to me. Let's talk pressure, right? Somebody gives me a plant, I got to keep it alive. And it's in a pretty brightly lit location. But as the days change outside, shorten as fall comes, less intense, sometimes that plant will lose leaves, looks like fall in my house, and then it adjusts to the lower light. I keep it inside just because, one, it's pretty big and heavy. And it sounds like yours was too. And then that transition in and out can be very tough on the plant and the gardener as well.
So we pruned it when we brought it in, and that seemed to kind of precipitate its death.
You know, sometimes a lot of people will prune when they bring plants in the fall, mainly thinking that's the best thing to do. But really, the more leaves or potential to grow leaves, the more energy producing part of the plant to photosynthesize and help really feed the plant. I like to do my pruning like February, especially hibiscus. I just figure the more leaves on the plant, the better shot it has. Or even if those stems are leafless, they potentially can put out leaf growth and then produce energy to feed the plant. The benefit of pruning in late February, early March, the days are getting longer. You know, it's brighter outside. The plant's going to recover much more quickly. And so it's a good idea to time that. And with hibiscus, if you prune too late, you know, a lot of people put their hibiscus out for the summer, in for the winter, back and forth. If you prune too late, you're not going to kill it, but you'll get flowers when you bring it back in the fall. So you want to try to get things pruned by the end of February if you're expecting blooms in the summer on something that's going outside.
Another thing a few of my colleagues have mentioned, specifically this winter, I haven't heard this from them previously. They used new potting soil.
Okay.
It's bugs. You're making a face.
I'm guessing fungus gnats. They look like little fruit flies,
yeah.
And they're always in your face. And they're feeding, and it could have come in the potting mix, could have come with a plant. They don't hurt the plants, but they feed on the organic matter and dead roots, and they are really annoying. But the cool thing is, there's a product called, you may have heard of mosquito dunks and mosquito bits, and it's a naturally occurring soil bacteria, Bacillus thuringiensis, and a strain that kills the larvae of mosquito, black flies, and fungus gnats. And why I like it is the mosquito bits are now registered to you, so you sprinkle that on the soil surface, water, repeat once a week for 3 or 4 times, and it takes care of the immature ones, and the adults don't last that long. And again, it's one of those you treat. I get them every once in a while in my house, and I usually just ignore them. But I'm with somebody who is not as ready to ignore them as me. What are those things in my face? So I treat now because not everybody is as tolerant as I am. So especially in a workplace, not everybody's going to appreciate having fungus gnats in their face as they work on the computer or speak on the mic.
So this gets to my last question. And, you know, you mentioned, of course, there are plants that people bring inside, take back outside, bring inside. If you're growing plants inside that you do ultimately want to take outside, what should you keep in mind?
Well, first of all, that transition, you need to slowly introduce the plants to outside. So even if they're in a bright, sunny window, window inside, it's a lot less intense than full sun outside. So a lot of times I'll take plants that are struggling or a lot of my plants out to enjoy in the summer, and often I'll put them in a partially shaded environment. I also find under the canopy of a tree very humid, filtered light, so the transition is less. But if you're putting them into direct sun, think about when you're in Florida in January. You come from Wisconsin, all covered up, you go lay on the beach and you fry. Same thing happens with our plants. So gradually introduce them to the bright sun. Check your watering. You're going to need to water more often. Same, reverse it when you bring them in the fall. And then watch for insects, because often that's how we bring pests into our house. Aphids, mites, scale, mealybugs, they catch a ride in. And they might have been killed outside if they were left for the winter, but now inside it's warm, the air is dry, they're doing great, the plants are struggling, so they have a good home.
All right. Well, Melinda Myers, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Well, thank you, and don't let the bugs stop you from growing.
Melinda Myers is a gardening expert and the author of several books on the topic, including Midwest Gardener's Handbook. Myers will be appearing live at the Realtors Home and Garden Show the last weekend of March. If you have any gardening questions, you can find a link to Melinda Myers' website at WUWM.com. And that's today's edition of the show. I'm Joy Powers. Audrey Nowakowski joins me in producing Lake Effect each week with help from Trapper Shep, Maggie Holdorf, and Olivia Richardson. Becky Mortensen is our executive producer. We also heard from Taryn Powell, Angelina Mosher-Salazar, Mayan Silver, and Susan Benz from the WUWM News Team this week. Lauren Sigfusson is our digital producer, Jason Reavy is our studio engineer, and Michelle Maternowski is our managing editor. Willie Porter wrote our theme music. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I hope you can join us again Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 for Lake Effect Weekend on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. It's 11 o'clock, and stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.